is your interlocutor.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Full Reptile Radio. How are you?
Good, man. You?
Mate, we are kitted out today.
Full exclusive.
Unfortunately, we can't see the back of that shirt. We I guess you kind of need to... Oh, are you going to...
I'm going to do the bra thing.
Yep. Almost. That is fucking awesome. Look at that.
How's that?
Oh, I'm going to need one of those.
Yeah.
Full
exclusive for me at the minute, unfortunately. I only had a medium. So.
And the hat as well, although we're not going to be selling those hats, are we? Because they're too much of a pain in the ass to make.
Yeah, Mandy wanted to stab me.
And I've got my full reptile boxing hoodie.
Are you going to do the bra thing?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go for it.
And I pulled the hood up so you can't see my face for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, like your Mexican luchador mask.
Oh, yeah. Cut holes in the back of the hood.
Yeah, of course you could.
Oh, I've not thought about that. Oh, hang on a minute. See, the thing is, you've not got sleeves on yours.
I thought you were going to say you've got tiny arms. How's that one?
Well, there is that as well.
I don't know.
I saved that banter for Ollie, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because he bothered about it, didn't he?
Fucking hell. This is not working very well. it's like it's stuck to my T-shirt.
Yeah, but
what's going
on? Now like a straight jacket.
Hang on. Here we go.
There you go.
I might crisscross this. I might Victoria.
We should have just worn it backwards all the time. What are you doing, Victoria?
What the fuck, bro? Kick me right in the balls.
Oh, right in my balls. So there you go. So that's an exclusive.
Here we go.
So I've started. I had stickers made.
Gotta go the other way now.
Yeah, you gotta go all the way back. It's like that Peter Griffin thing on Family Guy where he hurts his knee. He's like, and it just goes on way too long.
They've added Family Guy to Disney Plus. Imagine how much they paid Seth for that. Can you imagine?
Seth's rolling, man.
Rolling.
As long as he doesn't make any more films. Did you ever watch that A Million Ways to Die in the West?
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, bro.
I know. I wanted it to be good, though.
Oh, yeah, I did. But it was, it was kind of kicked in the junk. There nice.
Now I need to take it off because I'm too hot.
You're about to say.
Well, we've got treats today from Debs. It's not vanilla caramel ice cream.
They have Debs.
Yeah, they're from Debs.
Debs made some nice hot balls.
Chocolate salty balls. And I tell you what.
Go on.
Our good friend Steve Smith has hooked us up with a bag of
really?
Toys. Mate, honestly. So, obviously, he added a few of British Bulldog was here. No, this one. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw was his, yeah. Davy Boy Smith came from my loft.
Yeah, so Steve Smith, not the American dad Steve Smith. No. Our friend of the podcast, Steve Smith, he was like, "Oh, I found a few more action figures. You're gonna lose your shit."
I'm buzzing. You've had this for weeks, mate. And I've actually been in touch with Steve as well. He's like, "I'll send some more bits."
Is that right? So all I've done is this,
and put it away,
and then I put it away, and I've not looked at it. But I'm gonna pull a couple out, and then I empty them. Well, first of all.
Dude.
It's a fucking Rancor.
Rancor. Can you remember the one where it was the full size one and you could actually get a figure inside it?
He's body popping.
Oh, Yokozuna. You know he's Hawaiian?
Yokozuna. Is he really? Yeah.
Yeah, so he was, you know the head shrinkers? They were his uncles. And there was the ones before, so there was a tag team before him. Is that Ric Flair and a robe? Dude.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd have lost the robe immediately. I never liked Ric Flair. He had a beef with Macho Man at WrestleMania 8.
Did he, yeah?
And he was trying to make out that he was having a word with Elizabeth. And Macho Man was like, ooh, brother. He wasn't happy about it. But yeah, I was never a fan of him.
Look at the size of that. That's a wicked coat, though, isn't it? Gown.
Mate, you know the actual amount of plastic you get per figure?
This is the one I'm most excited about.
You get three more out of it. Yo, that's the first release of the Boba Fett in 97.
How beautiful is that?
So that is the first release of when they remastered, I think in 95, the original three movies. Then when episode one came out, which I made bank on at college, because I got a reasonable copy.
Has enough time passed? You're not going to get arrested for this.
Nah, fuck it, would be rape. I even sold it to one of the women in the Derby Market Hall that sold tapes. Like, you used to go there if you wanted to get some green, and all you had was like season one to three of Friends, trade it in. And because I was at art college, I think I told you this before, my mate worked at Another World, which was at Forbidden Planet,
yeah.
And they sold postcards. And then I went to the video shop, and because DVDs were getting massive, you could get like 30 video boxes, empty cases for like £1, because it was a pound shop. So we got this pirated video, and we'd had two or three VHSs set up, and we were just banging these copies out with Jar Jar Binks on.
Of course.
And then we'd put them into one of our
This was video before boxes. Most people realised it was shit, right?
Oh, for real, yeah. Mm, we made money before...
Before they realised it was shit.
It was obviously back
in
the day.
You got
America.
The word around.
Yeah, yeah.
So it probably crashed in cinemas in the UK because...
You need to watch it. Yeah, but I made money. So because we were at art college, we got all the black craft paper we could find,
yeah.
Put that in the sleeve of the video, got a postcard from my mate, slipped that in the front.
Oh, you went pro then.
Production value was on point, but the film was shit. So it was one of them where we did that...
With Jar Jar Binks.
Very good. That was nice, man. Yeah, yeah. It's not as... Problem is...
It's the only good thing about the movie.
Everyone wants Chewie, but no one wants that impression. But the guy that played Darth Maul, was it Ray Park?
Yeah.
The Taekwondo guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came to do a sign-in at the same Another World
Forbidden
Planet.
That was a wicked
costume,
that was one.
Dude. Well, I told you before, didn't I, that my mum's friend was a costume maker for Fifth Element and Episode One and a load of other stuff.
Fifth Element's a good movie, mate, as well, wasn't it?
I came into our kitchen as a kid and I walked in and she's doing sewing Anakin's robe. And I was like, what are you doing? She's like, it's for Anakin Skywalker. And I was like, what's an Anakin? And she went, oh, it's Darth Vader.
A mannequin?
A Darth Vader as a kid. I was like, shut up. Well, like, full tilt. And she was like, no, before he got sliced up.
Before he got pissed off.
Yeah, before he got stabbed up and made wet in it.
So how are you anyway?
Yeah, wicked, man.
You got attacked by a lasagna.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned it earlier, and it's just been bounced around. I've been trying to figure out how you, there's possibly a story about getting attacked by a lasagna.
I was a very typical, stupid man with man logic. And I'm sure you do this. It's like when you go to the supermarket and they go, do you want a bag? And it's like, no, I can juggle. And you've got way too many things. And you probably should have bought a bag for 5p. But you don't.
More piled up on you.
Yeah, literally just fucking juggling this shit back to the car. So I went to our freezer, which is one of the, like, fridge freezers, taller than me. So what am I, 5'9"-ish? So this is like a 6-foot freezer. I'm only saying that because of the distance this fucking ice bullet dropped. And it was one of them things, you know, the individual lasagnas you get from a supermarket. We had one in the fridge and we got to the point where you do that thing, you're like, oh, that's close dated. I'll dunk it in the freezer.
So this wasn't a cooked lasagna?
No. Oh, okay. That would have been way better because he would have just scolded me.
Oh, shit. It's
so Stacey's cousin Paul, better known as Ted Feckintastic, has got us into XL, double XL ice cubes.
Better known by who is Ted Feckintastic?
The world.
Oh, okay.
So...
Well, now he does. Now he's famous.
That's it.
So, he's immortalised.
So, yeah, immortalised Ted Feckintastic on the rave scene. So he got us into these massive ice cubes. Because you put them in your drink and same ice cube every
like
time.
Like one of them big things,
It's a big square.
Yeah, I've got some skulls in the... Yeah. In the
They're fucking
I don't
wicked.
Use ice cubes though, so I don't know why I bought it.
No, They're but it's cool. Though. Yeah, it is cool. It's like the Death Star.
On a big skull.
Yeah. So I was trying to get that tray out, but then I needed other bits. So I was sort of balancing it up. And our freezer has got bits that you just poke everything in. It's not drawers. The drawers start, that now I know, exactly opposite my shin.
Oh, nice.
And it sticks out by about, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches. So I kept trying to push this lasagna back and trying to juggle everything. And at the same time, I'm concentrating on my ice cube. So I literally gets this lasagna and shoved it into the top. And it didn't go, so I pushed it again. And instead of saying, why don't you move something and make sure it's got a flat base to sit on, you fucking dickhead, I just shoved it hard and tried to shut the door. At which point, it went like the fucking Jamaican bobsled team off the top. It hit the shelf and went directly 90 degrees, wham, into my shin. Mate, if it hit the dog, it would have killed it. All I wanted to do was cry or tell someone. And the
so
girls
you got,
upstairs...
You got shin kicked like, by a lasagna.
Mate, so you know now when I'm watching someone getting one leg kick, I'm like, it's only one. You'll be all right. I know you've got your party trick.
It's
like,
yeah, but it's not a lasagna, is it?
No.
All right, Chris Weidman, calm down a bit.
Try taking an Aldi lasagna to the shin in its foil.
Oh, foil as well?
Yeah, the foil was on the edge.
Oh, so there was some metal weight to it.
And I've taken a pedal to the shin. I used to ride BMXs or I used to ride trials bikes, controversially, but I did. And taking things to the shin, I think it's the first time ever anyone ever did a pain dance. Like some caveman was
a horrible feeling.
Knocking something together and got caught in the shin, and I think he started it off.
But it's like it's a similar noise that you make when you stub your toe, though, isn't it?
Oh, mate,
it's like a.
Well, it's that you don't want to let anything out,
yeah,
because then you've lost,
yeah.
Like where we went to Cornwall, and we're in a caravan, and with caravans, as you know, everything's sort of it's tuned down to the point where. They've taken all the fine edges off stuff. So, mm-hmm. like, this table has got, like, a nice finish, whereas that's, like, got a really rough edge on all the fucking beds and stuff. So the amount of times I'm trying to creep through, because Moo let herself out. First night we were there, she went sleepwalking.
Oh, shit.
Out of the caravan at fucking midnight. We wake up, come running out. I've twatted my toes through a four-foot room 75 times. So I get to the door, and she's at the door, like... What are you doing? Try to get to my bed. And I was like, you've walked out your bed. You've gone to the car, mate. You're outside. Shut up. Like full aggro.
Really, yeah.
So yeah, so every night, I'm not only am I trying to make sure that she's not escaping her cell, I'm also watching my fucking toes. Because everywhere is just, it's like the you caravan.
You have to tie a bit of cotton around your little toe and tie it around her wrist. And then in the middle of the night, you feel
I'd lose my fucking toe. I sleep far too heavy, honestly.
Just dragging you to the car park, yeah. just sliding along.
Sliding through the past swimming pool, and she's like, go find my bedroom. All right. So yeah, it's the lasagna fucking won. But honestly, I don't think I've felt a pain like it because it just, the speed it felt and then just went, boop, and I could see it coming and almost like a I don't know, Ace Ventura, and it just bing.
You know it was coming.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, that's no good.
I'm going to eat it out of spite. And the foil.
Well, at least you win in the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least you know. What else have you been up to?
So obviously we went away.
Did you get some sleep after ride along?
Dude, I drove back from Cornwall the day before that. And I stayed up with David on PlayStation because I hadn't been on PlayStation for a week. So I'd had my withdrawals. So then I managed to get online with him. There he is. The most hated character in any franchise of anything ever.
He didn't deserve it, did he?
No, I quite liked him.
He didn't deserve it.
Especially when he put his head in between the pod racer. You know, when he was talking and they got it all fired up. He's like... You remember? He's good, man. So in CGI, they were trying something new. Can you remember that when you got a bag of Walker's crisps and you got a Jar Jar Binks sticky tongue? And so like it was a plastic head, but then you could whip out like this jelly thing. And if you had a really stupid kid in your class, you could tell him it was food.
Yeah, check this.
Go on.
Check this. Watch your mug. I have no idea what's in Solo. This. There's just all kinds of good stuff.
Easy.
Right.
Dude.
Oh, mate.
I've got some carbonite. And he's in it.
What the fuck is this?
Hey, Peter. Who are you?
I've literally... Oh, look.
Oh, is that a Darth Maul Rubik's Cube?
It looks like one.
Is that on brand? Am I allowed to say Rubik's Cube?
It's definitely not a Rubik's Cube. Not with it being... there's a Darth Vader. Mate.
That's one of the Steiner brothers.
Is it? That's a terrible haircut,
Scott
isn't it?
Scott Steiner, I think that is. Someone will know.
There's one of the Bushwhackers.
Luke.
There's Yoda. Performing some kind of...
Mate.
Some kind of feat.
He's not fucking around, is he?
He's not fucking around.
I put... Yoda came with a snake with it. That's... is it Zabulba?
Yeah, is that his name?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Is that Zabulba?
What the...
Zabulba.
Oh, shit.
He was a pod racer dude, wasn't he? That had him as a slave.
Check it. Holy shit. Oh, that's the one of the things that they fight, isn't it? Yeah. No, didn't it race up the side of the... You know when there was the Jedi's last stand?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he's
going to need some work before he stands up.
I don't think he got the credit he deserved with his weird...
That's a little old...
Wow.
Jar Jar Bink.
Jabba. Oh, mate, I've got to tell you about Jabba.
Go on.
So, while we were in Cornwall, we were stopping on a haven site. And so we use it as a bit of a base camp because obviously you get a swimming pool and all the rest of it. So one night we went in the arcade, take the kids in the arcade so they can win their tickets. And it's one of them things where... The 2p pushers give out tickets. Everything is ticket-based. A fruit machine is ticket-based. And you basically win something like 1,000 tickets, and that's the equivalent to one Chupa Chups lolly, which is right. fucking insane. But you can't tell them, I will just give you the 30 quid you're going to spend in this arcade to take to a shop, because they want to go through the process. Well, there's one claw machine that was basically, it was a prize every time. So no matter what, it cost you 2 quid as opposed to a quid, but you were guaranteed a win. And they had these, they're called Sumsums, and they're like a little teddy bear that looks like the size of a Swiss roll. And basically, Disney have got the rights of these Sumsums. So you've got Star Wars Sumsums, Harry Potter, or I think it's Harry Potter maybe, or Guardians of the Galaxy, all the Marvel. There's fucking everything. Star Wars, the lot. So we walk around this arcade, and this little kid's gone up to it. And we stood watching him. And because he was about 12, Moo's about 13, there was this weird tension between these kids. And I just stood back, let him crack on. And he managed to pick up two at once. So he was like flexing, like the big man. Moo's never played this game before. Went in and I said, hey, you have a go now. And I said, you got to try and beat two though. And she's like, I know. Because this kid still stood there. So he stood there with his two Sumsums, like really buzzing with his little mate. And Moo, no shit, dropped the claw, got five. And I was like, what the fuck? That's the best shit ever. So literally gets this thing, drops five of these teddy bears out and obviously shares them with her sister. But now thinks every time she's going to get these five teddies. But there was only about eight different variants in this box, okay. in the cage. So I got to the point where at night when we were going home, she wanted to go on this machine again. So I was like, yeah, no worries. But I had to shake the machine if she picked up one she didn't want. So I'm literally vandalizing this fucking claw machine. She's like, no, I've got a Jabba. I'm like, fucking hell. One sec. We've got a Boba Fett. We've got a Jabba the Hutt. But there was one she wanted. And honestly, she must have picked up everything but Princess Leia. And I thought there's got to be a security camera of some arsehole in a full reptile t-shirt and hat and socks. I'm not a company man. Just fucking smashing this machine to pieces. Honestly.
Those 2p machines, though, I did spend hours on them.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I mean, you could have one in the house, couldn't you?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's quite meditative. You just kind of, but there must be a trick to it, right?
Yeah, well, the logic is genius because no one ever walks away. Like, if you go on a Fruity and you drop a pound in and you take 16 quid, you might think, someone's just filled that, I've emptied it, I ain't putting fuck all else in that, I'm walking away a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you take a fiver into an arcade and you play a couple on a game, Fruity, you might get a bit. If you change a pound into 2p,
yeah,
you've got 50 goes.
50 goes.
Chances are you're going to drop maybe another 20 goes. But you're not going to go, fucking hell, 40p? Cash me out, dickhead. You're no, going to put the fuckers back in.
Yeah, of course. So it's not worth anything. No. So it's the time on them.
But that's why they've started doing these tickets. And the other thing is they put shit on the 2p. And that, to my kids, is like fucking crack. It could.
Oh, so you've got to try and get it to tip over, get the toy as well.
Yeah, so a pencil eraser, like a rubber, a pencil eraser.
Yeah.
But it's shaped like a Yorkie. They don't even fucking like Yorkies, but they're like...
Shaped like Jabba the Hutt.
Shit like that. So like cheap knockoff shit just sat on the edge of this, on the edge of these 2p's. So that then becomes the whole fucking mission. But honestly...
It is good though, isn't it?
It's wicked.
Like seaside
arcade,
stuff.
Arcade, mate.
I used to go down to Cornwall all the time because we used to go down there and camp and, you know, spend all day on the beach and bodyboard and that kind of stuff, and then arcades and fish and chips and stuff. But it's not the same down there, is it anymore? It's like, is it busier now?
It's slightly busier.
Where'd you go? You went Cornwall.
We went to Hale. So St. Ives is here. Just 5-10 minutes away is Hale, which has got a massive beach. It was fucking stunning.
Yeah.
And then Newquay's a bit further around. But the G7 summit was on, which we didn't know. So as we're pulling in, I literally pulled in a police station and four paddy wagons came in behind me, like full police, like the Rigor wagon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bigger.
Mm.
And I was like, are you right, lads? And they're like, oh yeah, we're just getting fuel. I thought, fuck, man, I've literally just driven 7 hours, pulled up in fucking four police vans. I'm like, I've literally got nothing with me. And so that was there. So that made it busy. So St. Ives was kind of closed from Wednesday. So we had to get down and do everything we could in St. Ives before, but it's only small. But I worked out a real hack because we went to the beach the first day and everyone there were surfer bros. And I've got a really good surfer friend that grew up in that world. And basically, I know Cornwall like disassociate themselves from the UK. So you're already up against it.
Yeah.
And if you're not a surfer already and your hair's not ruined by salt, then you're already a fucking outsider. So like we pulled up and where the beach was, there was a full surf school. And there's these kids like literally just out of nappies, fully surfing in on a longboard. And we're floundering about on some shitty fucking bodyboard. So like thought to myself, what can I do? Because I'd taken the kids in the sea and it was fucking ice. Once you get used to it, it was all right. Yeah, but yeah. I'm literally wearing shorts.
Did you have a full wetsuit on? No, you had shorts on, did
just
you?
a pair of swimming shorts. Oh. So, and then, because I don't like being splashed at all. Don't splash me. Even if I could be like the hottest in the world, but just that, you know, just that aggravating fuck face. And obviously my kids know that I don't want that. So that's what they'll do. Because they're wearing full wetsuits. So as I'm in St. Ives, I said to Stace, I'm going to pick up her. I'm going to find a wetsuit. But I'm not going to go to a shop. Because I'm a sensible kind of guy. Let me go to British Art Foundation, somewhere like that. So I started dipping in these secondhand shops. And essentially, I found a full-length, battered rhino wetsuit. So Stacey's like, you want that one? I was like, yeah, trust me. So I get down onto the beach with the girls, and I've got it rolled down halfway, because that's what you do, because I've got all my tattoos, so I can flex a little bit. I'm walking down there, cool. The kids have got their wetsuits. We've got our bodyboards.
Mess up your beard.
Full scruff. Full scruff was out, no hat on, and it was just like sea beach hair, which was cool because what I saw in front of me was a prediction of dickhead dad that basically got the same kids and he'd been to go to cheapwetsuit.com and bought himself a brand new shorty, so he didn't want to splurge out and get a full length one, and he's got it off at the knees, off at the arms, and it's bright blue, and he just... trying to get in the sea, really cold. Whereas mine was, I think mine was an old rental. I don't know. The amount of people that pissed in it was more than a fucking public toilet. But
you blended in.
I blended straight in. That's it. And mate, I was catching.
Walking down the high street, nodding to all the other. It's like being a Land Rover owner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They all,
yeah.
all nod at one another. And
full green wellies. Yeah. Rhino. Rhino, mate. Yeah. It still lets water in. Don't worry about it. I'm cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So no elbows and knees on it or anything,
mate,
like that.
It's worn out to shit. But and honestly, it was the difference between when we took it off, when I took it off afterwards, I just went to get in the sea to wash it out. And I'd been in the sea all day. And the difference between not having it on,
mate,
fuck me, running.
We did a training camp once and we went down to Rosyllie Bay in Wales.
Okay, been there.
And this was like mid-December. And the idea was, the coach's idea was, oh, it'd be a good little, you know, team bonding session. And it was myself, there were a couple of other guys there, and Bisping.
How many died?
Mate, honestly, I nearly lost a couple of fingers. It was so fucking cold.
Wow.
But I've got a wetsuit, but mine's a shorty as well. So I've got short arms and legs on it. When I got there, they were like, no, you're going to need a full one on. So first day there, I put the full one on, went into the sea. I'm like, fuck. Still feeling this.
Yeah.
Next day, I went out there with their full one on, with my shorty over it.
Nice.
And even they better. Do wetsuit gloves,
dude.
And shoes and hats.
Yeah.
So I had the full gear. I looked like a ninja, like
too
a
right.
surf ninja.
Yeah, neoprene ninja.
I was in there all day. It was fine.
Yeah.
But it was like mid-December and we're learning to surf off the coast of Wales,
to
south
bond.
Coast of Wales. Yeah.
Fuck that. Lock me in a tent. Mm-mm. I'll be right.
The only thing I was bonding to was an iceberg.
Honestly.
It was fucking ridiculous. And then the next day we're doing hill sprints, like stairs sprints. And fortunately I was the only one of us all that didn't have a hangover. And so it was like 10 or 15 steps, puke up.
Oh.
10 or 15 steps, bugle. They were all struggling.
Oh.
And poor old Andy Harvey, who was a big old farmer, he didn't realise what we were doing. So all he brought was his Valetudo shorts. So he's wearing like a bodybuilder sweatshirt. You know, like it's got the big cutout neck.
Where's the neck?
Bit short on the arms.
Don't need a neck.
Valetudo shorts and steel toe cap boots. And he's doing hill sprints in these, puking up. And oh, mate, it was just one of the... most hilarious
in
size.
Steel toe cap boots and Valetudo.
Steel toe cap boots and Valetudo. I found my Valetudo shorts the other day.
The ones up here?
Did you see them? The
tap out
ones.
They look like the Pat Miletic originals.
Can you go and grab them, Mystery?
Will you
I
reach?
Think they are...
Hit a left straight into the gym, up against the wall. Next to the glove wall.
Down the far end, Mystery.
Oh,
yeah, on the top shelf. On the top shelf, there's a Yokao t-shirt. Yeah, Yokao sent me a pair of gloves.
Oh, nice.
Very fancy. They're very fancy.
The ones with all the print.
They've got like a white lion on them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there they are. Look at these. I mean, these are proper like 1998 UFC.
They're OGs, eh?
Like, look at those. I mean, these are literally the same ones that all the fighters were wearing back in the day.
Who made those?
These are Tap Out.
So that because Tap Out started doing the vinyl press on blanks.
These were one of the like the original ones that they did, yeah.
Wow.
And I've got one of the original Tap Out, the long sleeve white shirts.
Yeah.
Sorry, the long sleeve red shirts with the white just says Tap Out small there and big on the back.
I think Pat Miletic was the first one, wasn't he?
I used to wear an all black pair that had Tap Out on both sides because they sponsored me for ages. I tell you, they used to be wicked Tap Out, dude.
Everything was Tap Out. And if you remember when they did the first advertising campaign, because I had to have everything imported.
Right.
Because there was one guy, he was actually in Bronson, he was an extra, and his name was Lee Burkett. He used to work with me. He worked with me in the bank, but he was like tonk as fuck, like completely out of place. And he was massive into his MMA, and all his old team came over to me like, I think he likes that fighting stuff. What should we buy him for his birthday? And I was like, just get him a Tap Out shirt. And because that was a big thing, there was no Sports Direct, there was no Fearless Fight, there's fuck all. And all the advertising campaign was like a really slim girl in oversized men's t-shirts with like just a
big
pair of
baseball
pants on.
Cap on.
Yeah, or like sat on the toilet with her pants down around her ankles, but with a pair of Tap Out shorts in between her. And you're like, it's weirdly making me want to buy something.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, whoever thought that up.
It worked though, didn't it?
It fucking
It was
did.
Mask. It was Charles
everywhere.
Lewis.
Yeah, mate. They were awesome. It.
But they were literally like printing shirts, selling them out the back of their cars at like King of the Cage and Gladiator Challenge. And there were very few companies making MMA stuff. Like a lot of the stuff was being brought in from Brazil because of like, you know, Vale Tudo shorts.
Yeah.
And there was like Hot Blood and Vitamins and Minerals.
Yeah.
Gameness was another one. They
Bad
were all
Boy
the
was,
Bad Boy, of course. They still around.
The original Bad Boy with like the
of course,
motocross
with the eyes.
Yeah,
yeah. Justin Gaethje's got that tattooed on his ribs, hasn't he?
Mate, that is instant for me when I see. I mean, I know I've just said I've been to Haven, which is probably one of the best places to find bad tattoos other than a gym. But it's one of them where
Hardy Warlord's got a few. I'll
oh,
be honest.
Mate. I'm not saying that mine's the best in the world, but you look and there's. I just love bad tattoo watching. Especially when, I mean, David Beckham put it on his Instagram and he was like, this is what we do when it's hot in England. We take our top off. And you're like, well, yeah, you're kind of right. But when you're at a beach place and you just see something, you think, fuck me, you've got some confidence. Because, I mean, I'll strip off anyway. I don't care. But when you look at some people and they're worried to do it, but then you see these fucking absolute units of people that it's like he's had a tattoo that's sort of half finished, then changed it to a different woman's name, and then it's just now all black and his mate did it in the garage, and you're like, fuck me, man. Got one canvas,
got his old team name across his back shoulders.
Crossed out.
Honestly, it's you could do it in MMA though, you know what I mean? Like the amount of bad tattoos. One of my least favorites is the ring around the arm that doesn't meet on the underside.
Yeah, the ones where they didn't go there. You're like, what are you doing,
like,
bro?
Just finish it. Just, you know, this. I mean, it's an inch. It's going to hurt a bit, but
it comes
know.
Keen. But I mean,
yeah, but fucking come on.
I've had my armpit done. Like, that's sore.
Where was the worst spot you got tattooed?
Definitely my ribs.
Was it? Yeah.
Apart from, I've got it on my chest here. And when he sort of hit here, it made my ear burn. And my ear started wiggling.
Yeah.
And he was like, and because he's one of my friends. So whenever he knows he's hurting me, he just stays there.
Of course.
And he's like, why is your ear doing that? I'm trying to film it with his other hand. I'm like, yeah. I don't want you to keep doing that, mate. That and laser. Laser was probably the worst thing.
Yeah, I've never had that. I've been in the room when other people have been having it done. Like Robert Foe. Robert Foe in Vegas. He showed me a video on his phone because he'd had two full sleeves and a chest piece done. Like years and years ago, like prison tattoos, because he was the prison tattoo artist. I mean, he showed me one of the guns that he'd made. It was
genius,
quite amazing,
right?
Really, quite amazing. And some of the work that he could do with one of those machines was incredible as well. But obviously, compared to the tattoos that he's my portrait guy. He did my Bruce Lee and my Hunter S. Thompson. Like compared
Not
to what he can do,
you
know what I mean? Like what
Insane.
He had. So he was like, he bought a laser machine for the studio. Is it LV? I can't remember what his studio is called. Skin Design. Anyway, he took all of his sleeves off and all of his chest piece to have it all redone. But he literally had like all of his tattoo apprentices around him with like big bags of ice.
Honestly.
And they had him laying on this table and it's got that like snapping sound, don't they? Like and it would do it just like doing waves and waves of it.
It just turns it white.
It's weird how it disappears.
Yeah, feel it.
But as soon as they stopped the laser, they were just dumping the bags of ice on him. So it was like, and he literally just took off both of his arms and his chest.
Awful. I got tricked. Tony, the same guy, Ink Kings. So he started at Egg. He'd moved back from Canada. And he basically moved back and was in the green room and I was floor walking. And we instantly like hit it off because he used to be a graffiti artist, he used to be a BMX, he was a photographer. So I literally sat down with him and it was nearly my 23rd birthday, something like that. And my team had done a collection and said, we'll pay for your tattoo. And I was like, oh shit, I don't know what I want, but I wanted a half a sleeve. So I sat down with Tony and he literally sat down, drew something and was like, this? I was like, fuck, exactly that. How the fuck did you know that? And he knew a girl and she tattooed it on me.
Mm.
So for years after that, because he basically started by designing, then he got his guns. And then basically, once he'd got his guns, I just farmed people to him. So it went from being like, you need to do me a favor, to now he's charging money. So it gets to the point where he's got really good and he's only about his third shop. And obviously the majority of mine, apart from one, he's done. And I went in and he went, mate, you've got to see this. And there's this little globe sat in this little back room. And I was like, what the fuck's that? He's like, laser. I said, you can't have a fucking laser machine in a tattoo studio. It's counterproductive. He's like, no. People want to take one off, put one on, fucking gold. So I was like, all right. He says, let me do that original. He said, I've never liked it. Let me fuck it off. I'll put you a new one on. And I was like, no, mate. I know how much that hurts. You can just extend it. He was like, he refused to do any work. So he said, let me just let you see how it feels. So I was like, all right. Because I'm worn down at this point. I'm like, fair enough. No worries, dude. So I sit in this chair. And essentially, you hold it about an inch away from the skin. The further back is like the further you're twanging an elastic band. So like if he's from here hitting you,
it's going to really
fucking bullet. So he sat me down and there was essentially, it was like, it was still Maui, but it was like a love heart shape that he traced within a second. So within that second, my arm had then blistered up, gone white and ruined fucking everything.
Oh,
so I looked at him and I was like, you're not showing me fuck all. you've started. And he went, I got to now, and just did the whole arm.
Oh, no.
Then told me, you're only meant to have it in 10-minute sessions at this laser level. And he'd done me for 45 minutes, laughing his fucking head off.
Say.
At one point, his missus came in to try and stop him, and to which he pulled back, but kept the trigger going. So it went... It was like paintballing. I was like... This arm's
like
dead.
Platoon. Like,
it was the fucking worst.
And oh, no.
So I had three sessions of laser and it got to the point where it was nearly, like, you can see little bits like here. It got to just before I had it redone and Stace said, I think you need another one. And I was like, I think you need to shut your fucking mouth. Don't tell him fuck all. Don't even mention it to him. And she was like, okay. So it covered enough. But yeah, I mean, he tattooed the armpit. It goes into my armpit and then he had to laser that. So yeah, and so I've never had regret for any tattoo. I love all tattoos because no matter what, how shit, how good, the story behind it is gold. Because if you've got something like your portrait, you've literally gone to find someone and you've done your research and it's like it's all come together in this amazing piece of artwork. Whereas Brian Dead is just as good a story because it's the same... like brotherhood and this partnership and like a memory from when you've gone from doing this together to then this new career started.
It's like a diary entry.
I fucking love it, man. Because I don't really do a lot of journaling or write. I remember the majority of stuff, but I'm kind of worried about getting whatever, like Parkinson's. I know I'm going to get something. I know my brain's going
to
be fucked at some point.
You're going to have to memento it, mate. You're going to have to get it all down in your skin first, aren't you?
This is it. So I'm going to full prison break it. But I kind of love it. But at the same time, yeah, I'd definitely not recommend laser. I'd just suck it up. If you've got something shit, just fucking deal with it, man. It's horrible.
I don't think I'd ever have any laser done. But I've not got any tattoos that I'd take off. I've got a couple that my tiger needs finishing.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Because Robert Foe didn't do his eyes. But I wouldn't change anything. One of my favourite tattoos, and it's because of the story behind it, is my scar man. And that was, I've got the little scar man from the specials. And that was in a hotel in Hollywood at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Did you tattoo someone?
Yeah.
Boxing gloves?
Yeah, boxing gloves. Two different people, and they, Matt Skinny and Chris Stewart, they both got a tattoo by me. I've only ever done two. It was a lot of fun though. I could have definitely have gotten into it.
Yeah.
Like often when if I was doing an interview, you know, they'd say, oh, you know, what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't a fighter? And I would always say, I'd probably be a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
I could have definitely gotten into it because it's just, you know, the process of understanding it. Because, I mean, obviously, like, I was at art college and then university. So I went through the phases of, you know, sketching and charcoal and watercolor and you know, pastels and acrylic and then oil paints, and you kind of go through
gouache. Do you have
a little bit of gouache?
Bit of gouache in there.
Yeah, yeah. Some sculpting, some photography. So I did a bit of everything, but they're all different. Like acrylics are as different to oils as oils are to tattooing in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? And like you've got to understand how to use the equipment that you've got.
This is
and like what was it? What was weird as well is that you kind of feel like when you're drawing on something. You hit the limit because because whatever you're using is touching the paper.
Yeah.
Whereas with a tattoo, you've got to kind of gauge the depth yourself because you're going into the skin.
This is it.
So it's almost like feeling that limit within the skin where it's pretty crazy.
And it kind of depends on the person you're tattooing as well. Because if you've ever watched Ink Master or anything like that, you'll see people who've got tattoos. And one of the questions the later contestants started asking people like, how's your pain threshold?
Yeah.
And people always say, magic. And you see them an hour in and they're just biting down on wooden spoons and like for me, I always think I've made this decision to be here. Like I've got to block it out. And I think a lot of it comes back to when I had a moped, I went everywhere and it was 30 miles an hour. So if I was driving for an hour in the snow and I'm cold, I had to tell myself I'm not cold because you just
get on with it.
Yeah, you have to. And it's kind of built from that. And so even when we're in Vegas, like the back of my leg, Slim came out to me when I was outside. He was like, you didn't move. I was like, yeah, well, if there's certain bits that burn, but I can't acknowledge it. If I acknowledge it, it wins.
Yeah. And if you acknowledge it, you focus on it.
Exactly.
And then it's game over because your whole fucking head is in that part of the skin that's on fire.
But I kind of push my brain into like whatever music's playing. There's an album that me and Slim listen to, and every time I hear it, it just takes me straight back to that night. And it's a wicked memory, but the music is the thing that I completely focus on. That and Mystery stood about here from me lying down, and he's looking at this flash art and literally chose like five things, then changed, and you ended up with your hand, right? So it all comes back to like your focus point, because people used to say to me with Tony, I mean, he's a fantastic artist and he's won awards, but he's one of them people that was very similar to me at Egg, that you either had a load of people that knew exactly what you were and who you were and kind of understood it, even though you're a bit fucking leery and you had Tourette's and you'd get shit done, but it's unorthodox.
Mm.
And Tony was very similar to me, but he's like 10 years past me. So we kind of got back together. And when he was first learning, people are like, oh, he's never done it before. I was like, yeah, but regardless of how good his technical skill is, his artwork is always way better.
Yeah.
So it was never a fear that he was going to do something wrong or fuck it up, because I knew that
he knew he was a good enough artist. It was more of a mastery of the equipment.
Without a doubt. So it got to the point where every week I go and see him and he'd have like pneumatic machines and then this machine and this digital machine. And now he's airbrushing. He's got into doing airbrushing race helmets for people.
Is that right? Yeah.
And honestly, just that level of focus for an artist and to be able to stand back and see him come back to Canada and be broke.
Mm.
And then working in the same similar industry to me where you're basically surviving, to then go out and try something and actually flourish into this award-winning artist who then's gone, do you know what? I'm going to try something. I'm successful in this.
Yeah.
And it's not even like Michael Jordan going to baseball. It was, I'm going to sidestep into another thing. And yeah, he's smashing it.
You know what's interesting is with the pandemic, so obviously, you know, tattoo studios across the world have been closed.
Yeah.
And There's a similar characteristic with most tattoo artists is that they have to be creating something.
Completely.
You know, like you go to a tattoo studio, and I always enjoy going to different tattoo studios because you can kind of get a gauge of the artists that are working there. You know, like I've been to a few different places that Tim Hendricks has worked out of, and you know, like Classic Fulton is where he is at the moment. He's just an amazing, it's like a museum.
Really?
You know, and it's same as Tahiti Felix down in San Diego. It's like the place is like a museum. Like there's artwork on the walls from the 1950s where, you know, sailors were coming in and picking flash off the walls.
That's what you want.
But that whole experience of getting tattooed, always when I'm getting tattooed by Tim Hendricks, and he's done a sleeve of mine. He's done my Bob Dylan and my Big Lebowski on the insides of both my legs. He did Big Lebowski when he was over in London.
Yeah.
And then he did the Bob Dylan at his new place.
Did he do the sleeve with the flintlock and it said, when you stand on your way in, don't flex
because it turns
like an elephant's trunk.
it turns the
imagine your tattoo artist being like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this, but please don't fully flex
because it turns the pistol end up. But it's, and he's done, I mean, all of this was just completely custom. Like everything that I had, I wanted the praying hands because of the story behind them. And, you know, it's a classical tattoo and he's just...
And he's a master at that.
He's a master at it, especially like roses and that kind of stuff. So I've got all of that on the top side of my arm. And then I went to meet him in New York because he was doing New York Ink. And I got all of this forearm, like basically lined in and partially filled. And that was the same, like this part here with the anchor is on my wrist. Like, I mean, he buried that into the bone. That really, really, that was painful. And then to finish it off, I went to see him and got the flintlock pistol and I've got the White Cliffs of Dover underneath it. But like every time I go and sit with him, like we have a great conversation. You know, he teaches me something about tattoos. I have great conversations with other people. Every time I'm there, he always wants to show everybody my Japanese sleeve by Sung Song.
Yeah.
Because I like the balance of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I was saying, all tattoo artists across the world, and I follow a whole bunch of different people, friends of mine and stuff, people that I don't know, but they've all kind of channeled their creativity into different directions.
So much.
Like there's an artist I follow called Kelly Violence, and she's got a really heavy, really nice, like black and gray style.
Yeah.
But she's got into the Dremel. Have you seen that? Did you see the skull that she's... Mate.
I've seen a rose that she did.
She's done a few. There's one, though, that's a skull. It looks like the beginning of Black Sails.
Oh, nice.
It's amazing. And she's got like these time-lapse videos where she's like videoing over her shoulder and like dremeling this like skull out of this just block of wood. It's amazing.
I'm telling you, we've all got attributes and it is like Ready to Rumble boxing. That I put all mine in fucking about. Just being a fuckhead. Put them all in there and a little bit of creativity.
Something's going to come out of it.
Exactly. Like, I don't know my times table, but I've got mad shit for days on other shit. I've got like pub quiz stuff.
Yeah,
just
you can name
away.
Most of these characters.
Exactly. And I can tell you when they came out and who they were and why and all the rest of that shit, which is useless, but at the same time, it's dad skills. So that's all you need. Do you know, no, that's Zabulba.
Is it? He was one of the racers.
That's
one,
the pod racer, Zabulba. This is, he's the one who had Anakin and his mum as a slave.
Oh, we got a rebel.
But I think it's all down to attributes. Like someone that can go from tattooing, that can pick up a Dremel and go, I think I'm just going to carve a skull out of this in 3D. You're like,
right?
You fucking mad motherfucker.
You know, some of the best places to go as well when you're in a tattoo studio is the bathroom, the toilet.
Yeah.
There's something beeping. I can hear a phone going.
It's not me.
Yeah, the bathrooms, they're always like, I could like spend ages in there looking at, and they've always got some kind of like weird, like religious. Yeah,
that was Last Chance. Can you remember in Last Chance? Yeah. I did a full 360 video because I was pretty cooked at the same time of being tattooed and we've been to High Rollers. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
They do not go together. There are a few things I would say that on, but smoking and
does it bother you?
Tattooing, it's just horrible. It's just,
doesn't bother me.
No. Like most things are fine, but not getting tattooed.
It just makes it more intense.
Tattooed. Not sparring, not getting tattooed.
Oh, no, yeah, like swimming and sparring. But no, to be fair, when I've been tattooed...
Swimming's all right, unless you start panicking because you think you're going to drown. Then you're just downhill.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, ultimate warrior.
Dude, look at the size of that do. Mr. Hedwig, what are you saying? Oh, that's mate, wicked. Hated by everyone. But yeah, it's impressive. I like to see that. I mean, I think... Anyone who's known a tattooist as a friend or anything and started at someone's kitchen table or been somewhere and sort of tried to help them, it's one of them things. It's still seen as kind of a dirty art. It's like still, people still, well, what are you going to do when you're older? And it's like, well, hopefully I'll still have my fucking arms, mate. But I have a story.
I'll be fucking awesome.
Yeah. But
mate, I was at a friend of mine's house and it was Christmas Eve and I was working, so I got in there late and they'd already gotten started and they were, you know, there was a lot of drinking going on and some tattooing going on. And my friend's dad, Graham Giddy, I sent you his contact. He's a good friend of mine. He's got some wicked tattoos. He's got a full Star Wars sleeve.
Really?
He's got a full sleeve of clowns beating the shit out of one another. He's got Life is Peachy across his back. Big Korn fan. I was at his house. And his dad was sitting in the conservatory getting tattooed by my old friend Sumo, who had already lined out this big dragon on his back. And it was all kind of curved and twisted. A big old thing filled his back. And he was a big fucking dude. He was a builder. Just a proper street fighter. You got that vibe from him, you know what I mean? And he's standing there, sitting there, proper tough bloke, already drunk, sitting there smoking a cigarette while this tattoo's getting done on his back, not even really paying any attention to it. And saw someone fucking around the living room and knock something over and stood up to go, oh, fuck, like they'd knocked a vase over or something. He went, oh, like that. And he just, and Sumo wasn't quite quick enough at that time. He got much better. Got but at that point, he wasn't quite quick enough and he got a full red line down his back. Just like, zzz, zzz, zzz.
Part of the story there, man.
Exactly.
What's that red line?
Yeah.
Some prick. And it's going to be your brother-in-law. It's going to be someone you know, someone you brought to the party.
Of course.
It fucking always is. I can remember taking my brother. I took all three of my brothers. I said to him, when you get to 18, I'll pay for your first tattoo.
Which essentially,
yeah, because me and Tony had such a good, like, we had a good friendship that he hooked me up because I used to help him out with his websites or whatever. So essentially, I'm paying for his tattoo by doing some work for someone as standard. So I took Will, he had his done, take Danny, and my brother Danny is the middle brother of my three younger brothers, but he's naturally built like my stepmom's side. He's fucking 6 foot something, never been to his gym in his life, just solid. And we went to jiu-jitsu and he just sat on me, just giggling. It fucking made me so mad. But anyway, takes him for his first tattoo and he walked in and he was trying to brave it up a bit. And he went, oh, you've done it on A4, have you? I think I'll have it on A3. So I was like, I'm paying for this. So if you want, and he's got a big back, A4 would have looked a little bit lost.
Yeah.
Says Tony redraws it, does it A3, because everything he does is freehand. So then he slammed it on his back. Dude, I've never heard someone squeal so much. And it was genuinely one half of his back. The right hand side, nothing. Sat through it, didn't flinch, nothing. Literally went over the spine the other way and it's like it was another person.
Really?
Yeah. And when someone who you care about is doing something, at first you're like, it's all right, it's all right. Then you get to go, like, for fuck's sake, dude, just suck it up a bit.
Yeah.
But he's crushing my hand. And like we're counting out. And to be fair to him, he was young. He was like, he's literally 18 and came straight through. He's like, you said I could have a tattoo. And I was like, have you told mom and dad? He's like, no, you said. I'm like, all right. My stepmom still hates me for it because he's basically got his back done in one of his arms and she hates tattoos.
Oh, shit.
And I know a lot of people that do it, but they don't find that bravery or that confidence until they hit their stride. And genuinely, since I've left Egg, because that place was massive and there were so many people there that there was always about 2,000 people working there, but you knew at least 10 people that left a week.
Mm.
So it was constantly revolving doors. But like a couple of people have messaged me since they left and they're now like 50 something. And they messaged me just to say, oh, mate, just want to get in touch just to say I should have listened to you so many years ago because you just didn't give a fuck. I'm like, why should you give? I'm not saying you'd be rude to people, but they wouldn't question anything or they wouldn't stand up for themselves or they wouldn't have a word. And I'm like, who the fuck are you apologizing to, bro? And it got to the point then when they were texting me like pictures of a tattoo. And it started out with the smallest little thing hidden. And now he's got a full sleeve. He's like, what the fuck does it matter? And I'm like, exactly. I'm not saying get your full Tyson. But at the same time, like, who is this guy? So, for example, when you're in a, I don't know, in a bar or a beach or wherever, and like, don't talk too loud because that person might. It's like, you're never going to see that motherfucker again. And they're not thinking the same about you. And I'm not saying you're obnoxious or you go and kick sand in the face or you mock him because he's got a shit dad fucking wetsuit. But,
but you do.
You just guide them. You just wait to do a podcast and do it on there. But it's more about like, you're only here once and you're not here for long. Like I'm 40 now and I was 20 10 minutes ago. So the thing is like, why the fuck are you, why are you so bothered? Like give everyone their respect, everyone care and attention. But like when someone's waited until they're 80 and then they've gone and got a tattoo, you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
Have a go.
Like, I'm ready for some more. There's loads more I want to get. I'm ready for some more, but it's like places are just starting to open up, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm going to go and see Kelly Violence. I've got a couple of birds I wanted to do.
Whereabouts is she based?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Oh, I've turned my phone's off. I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure where she is. Down south somewhere, though. She does amazing work, though, and the birds that she does, like the way that she does the feathers are incredible.
Mate.
Yeah.
It's just that.
I'm going to have to find someone to finish this tiger as well.
Otherwise, who started the tiger?
It was Robert Foe.
Oh, okay.
But he was in Vegas when he started it, and then he moved to Hawaii.
We could go Hawaii.
Yeah,
we could see Dog.
We could.
We just go and see Leland, bro.
It'd be good Doug. To go to Hawaii. Oh, do you hear Max Holloway's out?
Is he?
Yeah, he's out. And they've just postponed the fight, even though Giga Chikadze said he'd step in. That'd have been fun. Chikadze against... Is that the rain? Damn, it's proper rain, isn't it?
Shall we shield the mic a little bit? We're going to get complaints about the rain. We can't help that in England.
Can't help the rain.
Fucking hell.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's out. I'm not sure what it was, but it's a shame, really. It's been out ages since Rodriguez has been in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like there's like a year between each one of his fights.
Well, he seemed to get aggro. Was it? It was after the zombie fight.
He was fucking furious after the Jeremy Stephens fight, yeah, which was a no contest due to an eye poke.
Yeah.
It was a bad eye poke, yeah, as well. I saw Jeremy Stephens the next day and he was still trying to fight him. Like, he was in the lobby of the hotel with sunglasses on. Honestly, I saw him the next day and he took the sunglasses off and his eye, his whole eye.
It looked like an old bomb.
Everything was all swollen. Yeah, it did.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, it looked like it was chewing gum. You know, it was just all swollen and purple and it was fucking horrible.
But he was mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it,
the thing is, I understand, like, Yair Rodriguez, he was in Mexico City and, you know, he had a lot of people there. It was a big fanfare. That was his opportunity to really shine.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Stephens is a fucking maniac.
But he was coming back in the third, man. Yeah, yeah. I know he got pieced up a little bit, but was it the fifth? Was it a main event?
I think it was a main
event. Whichever time they fought, like, if there was a sixth and a seventh round.
Yeah. The first one, was it first round? I think it was a no.
It was early.
No,
wasn't
it was early, yeah.
It was early and disappointing.
And he was fucking furious.
Did stuff start getting chucked into the cage?
Yeah. Carla Esparza had someone threw a beer at Carla Esparza as she was on her way out. But she was. That was an odd decision. That was over. that was an odd decision over Alexa Grasso. I did feel like Grasso won at least two rounds of that.
Yeah.
But then there was another bad decision last night on PFL. Apparently, I've not watched it yet.
I haven't seen anything.
Rory McDonald, believe it or not. Lost a split decision to Gleison Tibau.
Really?
Imagine how much gear he's on now at fucking welterweight.
Is it because... Is it the curse of shit kits? I know we've spoke about Reebok and then Venom taking over and someone sort of going, they'll never notice. How will they notice? They'll never know. Reebok's gone and they just put Venom in the same place and it's like...
It does look
ta-da!
Hot. Yeah, there's just a few more lines on it. It don't look any different.
Do you know what's worse? If you can get worse... PFL's pajama kits. I love what PFL stand for. I love the company and all the rest of it. But the pajama kit and like, do you think it'll look regal if we put a crown on it? So try like an aquatic crown from maybe, you know, fucking try it. Newton, whatever his name is, who's fucking flew along in the Nautilus. What's his name? Under the sea.
Oh,
King. Not Aquaman. SpongeBob. Yeah.
Nautilus.
Nautilus was the machine. The trident's the spear.
Fucking hell. No,
Ariel's dad in Little Mermaid.
Yeah. No, Neptune.
Neptune. Fucking Poseidon on one of them motherfuckers.
Yeah, no, it was... But yeah, okay, I'm thinking of the movie, though.
They put the crown on, like... What are you doing, lads? I don't know.
I need to watch it, but it was like all the MMA verdict and all the predictions from the fans and the people watching, everyone said Rory McDonald won it. And then at the end of the fight, at the press conference afterwards, he was sitting there and he was like, you know, like, we should not have to be worried about whether the judges are going to be seeing these fights correctly.
No.
And I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it back and see. But
it's a strange fight that Rory got matched against Gleison Tibau.
Yeah. I mean, but he was always massive for lightweight, Tibau was. I mean, he was cutting from over 200 pounds to make lightweight.
Yeah. Like,
that was always the story.
I mean, he was just jacked, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how he got away with it. I don't. Because there was nothing, organic about that physique.
How organic is your physique? His arm looked like one of these guys, because he actually had tattoos around the lines of his muscles, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just an outline.
Yeah,
that's pretty confident, isn't it?
Yeah,
Gleison Tibau. I've not seen him for time.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah, but so who's next? Who we got this weekend?
This weekend's Korean Zombie against Dan Ige.
Yo.
It's a good one. It's a good card this weekend, isn't it? There's a few good fights on it. I'll pull it up so we can have a chat. You enjoyed the ride along?
Dude.
You know what? Something that I realised we didn't do? I saw it in the comments. We didn't talk about Adesanya Vettori on the Picks Pod.
Did you not?
No.
Was it just assumed?
I just think we did talk about it. We talked about Nate and Leon and Moreno and Figueiredo.
I definitely thought that Adesanya looked different.
But losing his teammate, you know what I mean?
I think that was a big thing.
Yeah, but he was sucker punched, wasn't he? I read about it. He was sucker punched in the early hours of the morning, you know.
It's just devastating.
He's on the floor.
But I think maybe... The thing is, it's tricky with the ride-along because it's 6 a.m., 5 a.m., and we're sat on a set. I know we're sat in your living room, but like, I don't want to keep shaking my leg or jumping up and down because then you're sat right in front of me. Or the same as, like, any of us, we're all trying to, like, almost respect the space and being shot and be calm enough for everyone to hear because you don't want to be like, fuck it, he's going to win. Because then you'd be looking over like, shh, sit the fuck, it's 4 o'clock, dickhead. I've not had any sleep. So it's a really weird balance, but I've never left feeling tired.
No.
But I get in and I'm driving all the way back thinking, I'm gonna sleep and walk this off. I'll walk this off. I'm not gonna go to sleep tonight. I'm gonna get the kids up and go car booting or something stupid in the morning. Literally walk through the door, asleep. Dead. Completely dead.
Stace comes down, you're just asleep on the floor of the living room.
Just leaning against the architrave on the door. It's done.
Yeah. I felt all right, to be honest. I mean, I'd had some of that C4 energy drink and that was absolute gold. But I did sleep for a good few hours, woke up about 2 o'clock. I honestly, you know, I used to stay up every weekend. I used to stay up every weekend and watch the fights live every weekend. Yeah. I don't bother anymore. I pick and choose. It's not good for my health to be staying up all the time.
No.
And they don't fucking pay me for it anymore, so they can suck a dick. I'll watch what I want.
That's it.
I'll fast forward through the whole fucking event the next morning and cut the nonsense out of it.
Mate, I know now that when I get to the beginning of a fight and it shows the card, on Fight Pass, you got a 30-second bump. And if you get to the introduction of a person, that's a 30-second bump. You're on to the next one. That's a 30-second bump.
Hit.
Yeah, so then the two fighters, and then you've got the ring girl, so you can maybe squeeze a 2 bump in that. And you got like round one, 4 minutes 48, 4 minutes 51. And I still have to go back to 5.
Yeah.
So I have to sit through and got like, is it Kevin Smith or whatever his name is, with his screen time. What are you doing? Reffing, bro. Reffing with love.
Oh, that's one of the fights this weekend. Marlon Vera against Davy Grant.
Oh.
That's a killer, isn't it?
Mate.
Yeah, Davy Grant, though. You want Davy Grant to do well.
Of course you do.
I think he's... obviously, he won the first time they faced off, but it's just... I just feel like Davy Grant's been slowly climbing and all of a sudden Marlon Vera just went boom, yes. Right at the top of the division now. Yeah. Fucking come and get it.
And he's hungry. Mate, the thing is, Marlon Vera's never turned anything down from any point ever.
No.
It's always been at 11. Like, he could have been literally filling an application form for fucking Ultimate Fighter and it's full tilt aggro. And he backs it up.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'd love to see him against O'Malley again.
Yeah.
Just because it's one of them where you can't really take that off Cheeto's name because he roughed him up. He did what he said he was going to do. He sorted it out. And for O'Malley to still be like, I like the gimmick. I like the way he's doing it. It's like, well, I ain't got a loss. Because you're just going to boil someone's piss.
Yeah.
But
it is, though, isn't it? It's pissing some fans off.
For real.
And I'm hearing quite a bit
that's
now.
Just rattling him to the point where he's like, I fucking beat him, motherfucker.
Like O'Malley hit the ground running and he was like, everyone was all over him. And then I don't know what happened, but it's like, there seems to have been a downturn.
Yeah.
And people are a little bit like, I'm not so sure anymore. I'm not so sure.
It's interesting to see that.
I mean, you know, the thing is, because he's such a loud character, like, it forces you to have an opinion on him.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, say Dan Iga in the main event, most people don't even have an opinion on Dan Iga.
No, they just know he doesn't force you motherfuckers out. Exactly. But
everyone's got an opinion on a Korean Zombie because everyone loves to watch him fight because he brings it every time.
You get your money's worth.
Even if he loses, he brings it.
Yeah, but that's a bit like with Davy Grant because you've almost got a Leon Edwards scenario. Because
a bit nice, bit quiet.
So nice.
Very technical.
I've messaged Leon a couple of times and he's just come back like it's me texting one of you.
Yeah.
And it's always a really nice interaction. But, I mean, the guy, when you look at where he is, I mean, if you use someone like Connor, he came in and essentially shook the fucking beehive so hard that he was getting attention on his debut and then cementing it and making a point. Like, Leon's on a 10-fight streak.
Yeah.
And the scalps that he's fucking rattled off are insane.
Yeah.
So then to think that no one gave a fuck because they're all like going, so Leon, Nate was like, well, just don't want to win it. And it doesn't matter if I win or not.
That last 60 seconds though, man.
I shit my pants.
It's just fucked him, really, hasn't it? It's just screwed him because he needs emphatic finishes at this stage. That was what Usman was fighting against.
Yeah,
like he was doing that you've got 30%, and he was not finishing guys. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, now he's been the champion a little bit. He's turned a corner and he's decimating guys. I just feel like Leon's gonna have to do that to get a title shot.
Yeah, he's gonna need to spark because it's when he said, I do it in the gym.
Yeah.
And the problem is, for me, to a degree, once you've said that out loud, like if I was his coach, I'd be like, what the that's not a thing. Like when Usman said the famous, there's only 30%.
Mm.
That's not part of this plan, my dude.
No.
Like, because even if that was probably pre-Bok when he said that. And so we've had a whole however many years, since 4 years, whatever it is. And every time I watch Usman, that still kind of niggles me a little bit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you train for 3 months to put a performance on. If mm-hmm. you know you can fold him in half, do it 100% and fold him off in 5 minutes. Don't come out at the end of it and be like, well, I can win whenever I want. Because then you're waiting in the judge's hands. And we've already seen a million times shit decisions.
Mm.
So
I think Usman's only just turned that corner, though, where he's really a fight finisher, where he Mate. Knows he's a fight finisher.
Yeah. But the aggro, the character or the story that and the narrative that has now built that is that you fucking watch me.
Yeah.
And what he did to Masvidal was beyond outstanding. Yeah. I mean...
But then now this trash talk between Masvidal and Leon, that fight might happen finally.
That'd be good.
I mean, I think it's good for both of them. And I think, you see, the thing is, like, if you're Masvidal, you're looking at Leon, you're going, okay, like, it's same as Till. Like, I know he's dangerous, but I also know he'll probably give me the time to work and to maybe find his chin.
It's a fan's absolute dream.
Yeah.
Because no one's gonna take anyone down.
Uh-huh.
Really. That it's gonna be a point-proven exercise, which is gold. That's what you want.
But then, like, the other thing as well, which is it's a problem that a lot of fighters have to overcome, is they fight to the level of the person standing in front of them. You know, like we see this often, and I even see it in sparring. Like, obviously, you know, the boys are wrapping up; they've got fights next week, and Truman was sparring the other day, and for a couple of rounds, he wasn't particularly switched on because he knew that he was able to handle the guy he was fighting. Yeah. Whereas when somebody stepped in there that switched him on and made him aware, he was different.
Yeah.
And I think Leon, by the end of the fifth round, had proven to himself that Nate couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
So he just left himself open. And I mean, I said it in the war room, didn't I? It's like, if he's going to lose, it's because he made it difficult for himself. Yeah. And he almost did.
But and literally one punch.
Mate, that would have been one of the biggest upsets.
If it was a punch instead of the point. Oh, mate, imagine the noise he would have made since.
But that's what happened with Nate against McGregor first time around, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Which
motherfucker.
You look at that now, and it's synonymous with one of the biggest upsets. It's up there with GSP and Matt Serra.
Yeah.
But I think with the Diaz brothers, no matter what, it's the narrative they get out of it. They've got a story out of it. You will watch them every day.
Mm.
They could lose 100 fights in a row and you'd still tune in.
Yeah.
It's gold.
Matt Brown's on this card this weekend. He's fighting Diego Lima. Diego, I think, is a better fighter all round. I think he's younger and fresher, and I think he's more technical.
Matt Wheelbarrow Brown.
But nice. Matt might just roll over him with aggression and elbows. And if that's the case, Matt Brown against Nick Diaz is the fight.
That'd be cool.
Because you can't give Nick Diaz you can't give him one of the top 15 guys.
Why would you?
He's been out for too long.
Yeah.
You know? You need give him a warm-up fight.
What were his last fights? Was it BJ Penn and Anderson?
Anderson, I think, yeah.
And was BJ before that?
Was it? Yeah.
Did he go to 4 or 5?
That must have been ages ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Long, long time. But I don't think he fought anyone between that. I think it was a big thing about him fighting BJ, and BJ was on a rapid decline, and then he fought Anderson, didn't he? Did he mock three of Anderson's fights? One was the up against the cage when he called him into the cage, which is against Stefan Bonner. So that's when Anderson did the Stefan Bonner thing. No, I'll recenter myself. You can have another go. So he mocked him with that one. He lay on the floor like Thiago.
Here we go. Okay, so
go on.
Anderson Silva was his last one.
Yep.
And that was a no contest.
Oh, yeah, because of their...
Because...
slap at the base.
Silver tested positive for drosandrolone. Yep. And Diaz tested positive for marijuana.
Of course.
He should have been bonused.
Yeah.
Then he had a decision loss to GSP at 158.
Ah, okay.
And a decision loss to Carlos Condit at 143.
Because he said George hits like a bitch, didn't he?
But then his last win was BJ Penn at UFC 137.
Yeah.
And that was October 29, 2011.
What?
That's when that was.
That's 10 years ago, dude.
I know, yeah.
Fuck me, man. Yeah. That's time.
That's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, because the Condit was for the interim, wasn't it?
Even I've had a win since then. that was Paul Daly.
Oh,
that was
dude.
2011. That's crazy, isn't it?
I think that's one of my favourite fights of all time.
It was a wild fight, that was. But then, honestly, like, you can go back and watch a bunch of it. Like, his fight against Hayato Sakurai was absolute gold.
Did he fight Gomi?
Scott Smith. He fought. That was the no contest because he'd been eating pot brownies in the back back room, hadn't he? But Gogo plattered him.
He's smooth, wasn't he? Just like a silk.
they should have bonused him for that one as well. If you can Gogo platter Gomi,
yeah,
after eating a pot brownie, I mean that's like automatic Hall of Fame. There should be a whole wing,
without a doubt,
like a Snoop wing,
just a whole side. I don't know how that's not a thing.
And you remember his knockout over Robbie Lawler as well. Often people forget that Nick Diaz knocked out Robbie Lawler.
And Robbie just fell
forward.
And this is when Robbie had come in at 17.
He's doing the smooth 17. Criminal.
Yeah, leaning, but
smooth
with no
criminal,
wire.
But the glue failed on his shoes.
Oh, man. That was filth. And now, the thing is, when I first started watching MMA, I got the Ultimate Knockouts off my brother-in-law.
Ultimate Knockouts, Ultimate Submissions.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a two submissions, three knockouts. But I had that on a disc. So I had one disc, which was his entire hard drive, which was porn, games, shit, hack software and UFC. So by that point, I think we were on UFC 20 something. So I caught the Albert Hall. And so it was just after the Ultimate, you know, was it 18,
yeah,
Brazil? So then I'd started and I got consumed by it. I was constantly on UFC TV back in the day, no UFC on the gloves. And I was just obsessed. And the ones that stood out was Robbie Lawler and Matt Hughes. Because Matt Hughes was just dominant. So
he'd
already, when it came to Bravo, I think we were about UFC 30. So it was the Orlovsky-Silva trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank Mir had gone. But then once they realised the popularity of it coming through, they started playing older. And when it was on Bravo, it was gold.
Because wicked.
I
remember watching Orlovsky knock out Paul Buentello on...
fell over the top of him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was Spike TV. It moved to Spike, didn't it?
Bravo was Spike, I think.
That was it. But Spike in the US, wasn't it? Because it was always Spike TV.
Yeah. Well, it was Paul
Monster Trucks and fucking whatever.
All the cool man shit. That guy who bought the wetsuit is definitely watching it.
Oh, for sure.
All day.
For sure. His name is probably Spike.
Imagine.
Spike Bravo, his name.
No, he's definitely not a Spike. Maybe a Gideon or a Colin.
Right, we're going to have to wrap this.
Are we done?
We've got somewhere to go, mate. Yeah, we'll have to get one done next week as well, though. Oh, no, can't next week. Cage Warriors next week. So you're shuttling the boys to Golden Ticket and I'm at Cage Warriors with Raptors.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
That's all good.
We'll have to do it the week after then.
Thank you, Steve Smith.
Yeah, man. We're going to go through this and we're going to organise some stuff onto the...
I can't see my legs, panel.
It's wicked. Oh, very cool.
How cool is that?
Right.
Take it easy, brother.
Wicked. Yeah. Nice one, mate.
Be good.
Good catching up. Always. Catch you later.